The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
9:32. I watched it. It's a very small little film this morning. It's probably more like a trailer, but it's very beautiful. Directed by a guy called Gar O'Rourke. And it was 2 minutes of people around Ireland talking about their love of cinema. And we're going to put it up on our social media so that you can take a look at it. It's really very gorgeous. And it just kept reminding me of how much I miss the cinema, the screen, the popcorn, the Coke, the experience of just being there, turning it all off, particularly the phone, and getting lost in the darkness and the joy that only a cinema experience can bring. And you cannot download a cinema experience. That is the truth of the matter. And it's all linked to this thing, this little thing I watched is linked to Access Cinema, which is a group that supports community film groups and art centres around the country, which is something I actually know pretty much nothing about, which is why I'm going to talk to brilliant documentary maker Ken Wardrop and Clonus Film Festival organiser James Sheridan now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'll start with you because you know how much of a fan I was and continue to be of your magnificent films, His and Hers and Mom and Me and Making the Grade. So thank you for those again.
Thank you.
And now you're going to tell me all about, if you would please, what Access Cinema is in the least press releasey way possible.
Well, I guess the best way is to explain my experience with the organisation.
Perfect.
I'm currently on the board. I have been. It's a voluntary board for the last few years. And it all started for me back when I made His and Hers, which was a small little Irish documentary film. But how the organisation works is it organises screening days for their network of cinemas, which is in and around 80 different venues and clubs across the 26 counties of Ireland and even stretches into Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Anyway, during that process, people got to see my film and enjoyed it and said, look, I think our audiences will enjoy this film. So I had the privilege of going on a bit of a road trip around the country. This is a very hands-on organization. So actually the CEO, Maeve, brought me in her car because I couldn't drive at the time. So we literally got in the car, went around different venues. And when I say venues, these are repurposed churches, you know, rooms in pubs, schoolhouses, community halls, as well as cinemas themselves. Mm-hmm. So it was a real joy to introduce the film and just experience it, share it with local communities. And this particular film, His and Hers, obviously featured a lot of ordinary people from small communities around the country. So it was getting to the right audience, you know. Documentaries, in many respects, are regarded as art house, and it is difficult to find an audience. So this was just a great experience, and it really built word of mouth, and it moved from these kind of venues into the more commercial cinemas. And yeah, it just picked up. And I think for me, as you said, I had never heard of Access Cinema until this point. And I think that's the bizarre thing about it. It's just hidden in the background. It does its job. It gets on. Its function is to help curate and find licenses for these films.
Okay.
And I think if we look back to 2019 as an example, because you know, we can't look at 2020, obviously. You know, it had over 1,500 screenings with over 400 or close to 400 films, different films screened. So it's a great organisation, and I think it's a bit of an unsung hero within the film industry here in Ireland.
Have you seen the little clip I was talking about, the Gar O'Rourke clip?
I have indeed. I know Gar well, and it's a lovely film, and it really does it justice, this idea that cinema is a shared experience that we as communities enjoy together. We all know the difference of seeing something in a darkened room on a big screen with people around you. I remember like some examples that I've experienced would have been personally, I don't watch my own films because I get too bloody nervous.
By the way, you should, they're really good.
Well,
I recommend them.
That's the funny thing, you know. Yeah. I have to go in afterwards and get the feedback from the audience.
Okay.
And actually, looking back on it, the very first screening I had to the film club, I was nervous wreck, obviously, because I wasn't really used to this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrown out a horrendously difficult question that really stumped me, that I was like just not prepared for.
Yeah.
And thankfully, someone else in the audience kind of answered it for me, and it started this debate amongst the audience, which is the lovely thing about the engagement with cinema in these local communities, because everybody knows each other. They've seen loads of films together, and you know, it's just a different buzz.
I remember being in college once, and a friend of mine was studying film, and he said, before we go to the bar, you've got to come and see this film with me, because I've got to go and see it for work or for study. I said, sure. And I never would have gone. I'd like a movie club almost. And that film stayed with me forever. It was called Paths of Glory. Kirk Douglas, you know, the drumhead court. And he was this sort of, you know, pacifist in the middle of a war. But when you watch a film with people, you know, in that club setting, I think it's like you enjoy the meal more.
Oh, very much so. And it's you know yourself. If you go to a cinema on your own and you don't have someone to talk to afterwards, yes, it's a bit of a downer, because you want to, you know, we're all critics. We want to discuss it. We want to be outraged. Mm. I remember seeing Borat, and I was the only person in the cinema until this random gentleman walked in, thank goodness, because that film, for example, watching it alone, I mean, you know, you just, it's not the same. And we had this bounce off each other's laughs across this big cinema space.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I had to go up and say, thankfully you were there, because it is a different experience watching comedy or horror or some of these things. But going back to that, the idea that you'd seen that film, these films that are shown across this network, mm-hmm, are a diverse range of films. And I think that's really important also in a modern Ireland where, you know, we have large Polish communities, a Brazilian community. So you're looking at, you know, potentially showing the Brazilian version of The Commitments and trying to get that community into the cinema along with the Irish people and enjoying it together and learning from each other. And cinema allows that, you know. Afterwards, as you say, there's a bit of a bond and people come out and chat. And a lot of these venues and clubs, you know, cups of tea before or afterwards. There's some great examples, Ryan, and I'm sure James will explain more. But one particular one springs to mind, where the Cork Film Clubs, mm-hmm, down in Crosshaven and Cove, got together and held a screening of Jaws out on a boat.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, there's lots of different stuff. And when I was going around with Making the Grade, you know, some of the characters from that particular film, which is all about learning to play the piano, were invited along to give a piano recital beforehand.
These were
all amateurs who had never had an opportunity to play in front of an audience before. And it's just, I really admire how these clubs and organizers just try to think creatively of how to capture audiences' imaginations and go beyond just the cinema experience too.
Let's bring James in. James Sheridan, Clonus Monaghan man, good morning.
That's right, Ryan, how you doing?
Well, I saw you, great, thank you. I saw you on the lawnmower that you drive. The lawnmower man, and you were just doing your thing. But what I loved about you being on that was there's another farmer on his tractor, and there's somebody, you know, just all walks of life in this little 2 minute thing that we'll put up later on, is how you can never look at a group of people and say they like cinema. You can never tell who's the big cinema fan, and certainly you love it.
Yeah, well, that's true, like, you know, so it kind of helps, like, you know, when you're kind of organising a film festival. Now, I have to say, there's a committee of 10 on the film festival, and so everyone has their wee roles to do, like, you know, so that's what makes it.
Yeah.
It's the same as a radio programme, I suppose. There's a team behind you, you know, so.
Of course.
That's what counts, like, you know.
When you were a French teacher in Dublin 412 years ago, tell me about that and how you got introduced to the world of movies and cinema.
Well, actually, I lived with a French teacher.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Yeah, my mistake, yeah.
Yeah. No, je suis désolé.
Je suis désolé.
No, but it was, I always loved film anyway, like, you know, but a world cinema, I got an undercoat of it with, I lived with Vinnie McDonald, like, who was a French teacher, and there was a great wee video shop there on George Street, Laser Video.
Oh my God! I used to drive into town to rent out stuff from that, because they had the thing that the films you couldn't get
such good stuff. The thing.
Yeah,
and that's why Access do such a great job, and it's not a misnomer. Access is given access to films, world cinema, that, like, the likes of us down in Clonus, that would have to go to Dublin or a major town to get a decent film, like, you know, as you say, as opposed to Fast and Furious 17 or 18 or whatever. Like,
or Coming to America 9.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Come on.
Just coming to America. I know, Fast and Furious 19, where's the keys to my car? Like, you know, Vin Diesel might say.
I mean, I'm delighted for the Marvel fans because they're happy, but if you're not into Marvel, there's very little left for you in the cinema, is there?
This is the thing. This is the thing. And we have the kids at home, like, and they're all into Marvel.
Good.
Great films, well made and that there. But there's another one. There's one called Captain Fantastic, if anyone wants to get a look at that, with Viggo Mortensen. You know, he's homeschooling at the minute. Like, you know, he was homeschooling. That's a great wee film, like, you know.
Yeah.
But you said it. You said it there earlier on when you mentioned your friend, oh, come and see this film. Oh,
yes.
Do I have to? And I go. And that's the kind of thing that we were kind of looking to touch on in Clonus Film Festival, is get normal people in to watch a film.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, well, you're going 19 years. Oh, sure. Do you know what? I've never seen a film. And we're like, can you read? Yes. Well, then you're halfway there, like, you know.
Yeah,
don't be afraid of the subtitle, like, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you so much. And I think sometimes with kids as well as adults, because I saw a movie, I don't read, but I've seen a movie. Watching a great movie is like reading a brilliant book.
Yeah.
Like, you're as enriched with a good movie as you would be with sitting down reading 300 pages. I mean, you look at Goodfellas, look at one of my favourites, The Remains of the Day, or It's a Wonderful Life, or all the Star Wars movies, bar the more recent ones. And you get lost.
Well, that's the experience of cinema. As I said in the wee film, in the wee clip, it says, like, kind of, doesn't matter where you're from, if you can touch on a subject that touches you, no matter which way it is, it could be an image, it could be a sound, kind of like looking at a lovely cloud and automatically it comes in your head, a Paul Henry painting, like, you know? Or you hear a tune and it brings you back to your first dance or your debs or school or football or something like that there. It's all film, I think, because the images are coming so fast, it's an emotional kind of finger pointing exercise, the cinema, and then when that grabs you, that's what cinema's all about. It's personal, even though you're in an audience maybe of 100 people, or indeed even only one, like, you know. But it's a personal experience,
and that's what
touches you, like, you know. That's the main thing, like, you know. Like, even one of the films we showed a couple of years ago was called The Tribe.
Yeah,
it was a Ukrainian film. It was about an industrial school for the deaf, and how they kind of slowly slipped out of that. There wasn't a word spoken, it's like, you know, and slowly they slip out of that into crime and pimping, and, you know, it was a really raw film, but there wasn't a word spoken, it's like none of the protagonists spoke because they were deaf, like, you know, it was all sign language. Like,
really? I mean, if you told your pals this, and we're going to watch a Romanian film about students in a boarding school for deaf children, and you'd think, do you know what, there's an episode of Veep I really want to see, but then you sit them down, Coronation Street song, actually if you sit down with a bunch of like-minded souls in a club like that and you go, okay, no, I need to open my mind, I need to see what this is, and bang, like, that won't leave you.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about the festival we have. Like, you know, like, we're trying to, like, on the opening night, like, you know, we'd say, look, do us one favour, come and see one film, and then come and see one film, bring a friend, like, you know, and that's how it just slowly creeps into the community like that there, like, and establishes itself, like, you know. And the more you get in and the more the quality is there, like, some of the films you'd say, you'd meet someone like a regular and say, oh, you like this film, and they come out, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. And then someone completely different would say, I loved it. So that's the thing. But it's important to get that dialogue going as well about the films. Like, you don't just need to say, oh, well, that's a film I've been, like, a checklist, have to see the 100 greatest films on some list or other. Like, you know, it's about that personal experience, like, you know, and sharing it, more importantly, sharing it, like, you know.
I've been harping on about Iceland a lot recently, and, you know, they seem to make a lot of quality TV and movies as well. Have you seen anything worth pointing out on that?
Yeah, well, there's one particular one now. It's one of my favourites. It's called Noi the Albino. It's by director Dagur Kari. Like,
what's that about? Apart from the obvious.
Basically, it's about, not a spoiler alert, but there's a young fella. It's a big seismic event in his life, and he's in this community, and he's only a teenager, and he gets into trouble in school and this, that, and the other. But it's about the community gathering around him to give him that wee bit of space.
Okay.
You know, it was a lovely, and even them Scandinavian and Nordic films, there's a dark, brooding presence. If you've ever stood at the foot of a mountain and heard it, an internal growl to it, like, you get that, especially with the Icelandic, the volcanic thing as well. Like,
yes.
You know, and the dark, even the grading of the film, the editing of the film, that lingering shots when nothing's said, like, you know, that's what draws you in. That's what gets you thinking. That's what kind of clicks and lights your fire, like, you know. Well, mine anyway. Like,
no,
you know,
no, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, of course I do. I have the piece of paper. I've just written down Noi the Albino and The Tribe here beside.
Yeah.
The Tribe, the one about the deaf kids reminds me, again, of a movie. You talked about the way it can spark off a memory from when you're young. There was a movie that we watched collectively years, in the 80s, a black and white movie called Mandy. And Mandy was about a deaf girl and the family coming to terms with having a child who's deaf in their family, and it's very British. You know that very kind of, hello, Mandy, I'm afraid we have terrible problems.
Yeah.
That clipped in.
And Mr. Chumley Warner.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little bit like that. And they... But as soon as you mentioned that, I was back there. You know, that's Ken Wardrop. That's the beauty of it. Irish talking to James, obviously, and anyone else who like. I always think talking about movies and cinema is a great entree in company, because if you like films, you could be there all day talking about them. But Irish people love cinema.
Oh yeah, we're aren't we at the top of the European League of Cinema Goers, I believe.
Mm.
And you know, it's going to be interesting to see now how cinema returns.
Yeah.
Apparently there at the Berlin Film Festival, someone was telling me that there's fears that it won't return for another 5 years back to the normal figures.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
I think we'll rush back as soon as we have the chance.
I agree. I think we will. And certainly when you look at the clubs and societies, I mean, these people are, you know, in vast majority of cases are regulars. You know, they're committed cinema goers, and, you know, they have to go and sit on harder seats sometimes. So it's more complicated when you're sitting in a church pew.
You were going to finish your point. My apologies.
No. I think it's I'm confident that we'll get back to the same level of cinema goers for sure as soon as things lift, because obviously people are going to put in safety measures and everybody will be protected.
I agree entirely. And sorry, the reason I got so excited there, because I just remembered I was talking to, there was a young fella on the toy show, one of the first ones I did, called John Joe Brennan, who was a horologist who was into watches and time. And his auntie, Anne-Marie Brennan, was on to us. And they have this shop, it's an antiques type shop, in Roscommon, and the stories that she had to tell about the shop and her parents, who are hale and hearty, and John Joe, who's in Paris, I just said, this is a Ken Wardrop special and you need to talk together. And so I just wanted to say to you, think about that and we'll talk again.
I'll tell you, I'm writing my notes now as we speak. So
good man. All right, Ken, listen, continued success in what you do. James, I really enjoyed talking to you too. The best of luck in Clonus, in County Monaghan, with the Clonus Film Festival. And we'll see you all in happier days.
Can I just say that it's on in October Bank Holiday weekend?
Sure.
Yeah,
that's it.
And a comrade of yours, Frank Shoulday, showed a film there. You can get on to Frank. He'll come down with you.
The man who wanted to fly. He could fly us all up
together.
The
man who wanted to fly.
Gotcha.
Brilliant. Lovely.
Brilliant. Talented guy he is too. All right. Thank you so much to James Sheridan and another one. And indeed to Ken Wardrop for joining us on the programme this morning with all of that wonderful. Captain Fantastic is wonderful, says Roxanne. I was at the premiere in Seattle. Well, if you don't mind, at the International Film Festival there, you look a thing. I'm going deaf, says Liz in Leitrim, and I have to use subtitles, so that got me into the habit now when I watch movies in all language. You know what? I'm not going deaf, but I will tell you one thing. Sometimes the sound is so bad on some TV shows and music and films, I put the subtitles on because I can't understand what they're saying, and I find that very useful. I saw the beautiful film Lion in a little venue, the Remore Theatre of Virginia, some years ago. It was a treasure, the film and the venue. Thank you for that. Portumna Arts Group and Shorelines Arts Festival screened documentaries in a tiny room in the back of a pub. And His and Hers, says Noel, was a big hit. I'm looking forward to having more from Access Cinema when we can. So they're obviously doing great things there. Accesscinema.ie, if that sounds like something of interest to you. All right, back. What are we on? 9 minutes to 10?
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Poor James. I kept calling James Sheridan. His name's James Sheeran. My apologies. I've never met the man before in my life. But James Sheeran and Ken Wardrop were the people I was talking to there.